Philippians 4, verses 21 through 23, these are God's words. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's own word, and thus ends this letter of scripture, this epistle. You may remember, or you may have a Bible open and just can flip over a page or two, remember that this letter was addressed to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. And so it's probably the officers of the church who officially received and handled and read and announced and preached and taught this letter. And yet it's addressed to all the saints in Christ Jesus. So when the apostle comes at the end of the letter and he is giving greetings, he makes sure that it is in that same form, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. That is, that the apostle Paul, and then also all of the brethren who are with him, all the saints, not just those who are his brothers in the ministry, but all the believers who are around him and are aware of this letter, and particularly those of Caesar's household, they all, following the apostle's example and following the Lord's example by giving his son for specific people, sent specific greeting to every single saint in Christ Jesus. This is something, of course, that you can't really, I don't know if you've been to one of those worship services where they kind of have come up with this element of worship of having the greeting. Well, if we were to try to follow that in the scriptural way described at the end of Philippians 4, you'd have this kind of fractal progression in which every single one in the room needed to greet every single other one in the room. The Lord has thankfully given us all eternity to say, the godly ones in the land, they are my delight, and to act on it in that way. And we do have this wonderful a reminder that we are to all, we're to greet all. First, so this greet every. And why greet every? Because they're all saints in Christ Jesus. They're set apart as holy in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know if you have ever known someone who has a superstitious belief in saints with a capital S as something different than someone who believes in Jesus Christ and is set apart by God as holy to himself, or as a member of God's church, and Christ's church, and set apart as holy to himself. I have a lot of Coptic Orthodox relatives, so they have a view of saints like that, and in God's providence, one of the languages that I learned in high school was Spanish, and ministering to Latinos, I have often come into contact with them. Now, those who have that superstitious view of what a saint is, yet do have a almost ironically good grasp of how special a saint is. That this is someone who is holy because of their connection to Jesus. Now, if we could just grab that idea and apply it to every single member of Christ's church, we would start to approximate the joy and value with which we ought to be greeting one another. Because the greet every is supported by the fact that they are saints set apart as God, by God as holy, and that this has been done in none other than the anointed one who is himself Yahweh saving us in the flesh. So he's the anointed one, he's the Christ, he is Yahweh who saves, he is Jesus, that is his name, bringing those two things together. And every Christian you meet has been set apart by God as holy in his son. So this is a holy one. And that's the reason why we are to greet all in the church, because everyone in the church we are to see as a saint in Christ Jesus. How treasured every believer ought to know himself to be when he realizes that God has set you apart to himself in Christ. And how much you ought to treasure then every believer when you realize that God has set them apart, set him or her apart to himself in Christ. So greetings for all, greetings for the saints who are in Christ Jesus, greetings from not only the brethren, probably the brethren who are with me, isn't just saying in the same location as the apostle is, because he does go on to say, all the saints greet you, and I think by that he means all the believers who are with me greet you. I think the brethren who are with me greet you probably refers particularly to those who are on Paul's ministry team. Those elders or elders in training that he has, those missionaries who are with him, and of course Epaphroditus could tell them who those particular brethren were, since the letter is coming back with Epaphroditus. But that, for those of you who are called to office in the church, one of the duties we have as elders and deacons is to make a special point of communicating the love of God for his saints, the fact that they are set apart as holy unto Christ. It's something that all of the saints are to do, right? First part of verse 22, but it's something that Paul and then those who are also called not to the office of apostle, but to some other office in the church, are to lead all of the saints in doing. He said earlier in the letter that God is his witness, how he loves them with the bowels of Christ Jesus. We are to make an example of the love of Christ as we are an example unto others in the church. And then all the saints are to follow that example. We're all to greet one another. So greetings for all, greetings for the saints, greetings from the brethren, greetings from all the saints. And then this would have been a special one for them when he says, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. One reason that that is particularly encouraging is because the gospel has penetrated even to the household of Caesar. All of the might of Rome, all of the arrogance of Caesar, who ruled as if he were some kind of god, little god, none of that could resist the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the ways that the book of Acts ends is with Paul acknowledging that he himself is in chains, but highlighting how powerfully and how freely the gospel of Jesus Christ moves, that it is not in chains. And so that's one reason why, especially those who are of Caesar's household, would be encouraging to the Philippians. They would remember earlier in the letter how their concern for Paul and his having heard of their concern for him is one of the reasons why this letter was written. And this is part of how what has happened to him is turning out for good. And so he is making appeal to that love that they have for the gospel and for its progress. Another reason is because probably some of those of Caesar's household were known to some of those in the church at Philippi. Philippi was a Roman soldier and a especially centurion retirement colony. And, you know, some of them in their retirement might have gone and retired in Philippi, but others of them might have gone into the elite Roman guard in Rome that were part of Caesar's personal detail. And so they would rejoice to know that the same gospel of Jesus Christ that found them in their retirement in Philippi also God sent, and it found those whom they had served with and whom they had at one point a very strong camaraderie because of their military service together. But now they have something even stronger than when they knew one another in that service. They are joined together in Christ. And so there is that emphasis on not just the power of the gospel to penetrate, but how the gospel brings us closer together than anything else on earth possibly could. And the warmth then of that greeting would highlight that. So greetings for all, greetings for, especially because they're saints, greetings from the brethren, greetings from all the saints, especially those who are of Caesar's household, and especially the greeting of Christ, the not just now Christ wishing well and expressing affection and desire for us and longing for us, all of those things that the saints and the officers and those whom we know or who might know us, all of that affection that they have for us as Christians comes initially and especially from Christ himself. And Christ's affection for you, his love for you, his longing for you, his desire for you, is more than just an indication of how he thinks and how he feels. It's something that he's acting upon. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Again, if you remember from the beginning of Philippians, verse 2 of chapter 1, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a marvelous statement that was, that the Lord Jesus Christ has in himself life and strength, righteousness and goodness, all of those things that we don't have in ourselves. And so we need to have blessing that is rightfully his, because we don't have a right to blessing in ourselves. And so we need grace, blessing for those who deserve only curse. And he has in himself strength and power and life. In him is life. And that is enlightenment. We don't have life in ourselves. We have to borrow it. And in fact, in our sinfulness, in our fallenness, in our wickedness, we have death, the exact opposite in ourselves. But he has for us not only blessing for those who deserve only curse, but he has strength for those who have only weakness. And you see that in chapter 1, verse 2, the grace is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus, of course, is very God of very God. And he has in himself the grace that we need. And so it's not that we don't continue to have grace from the Father, or that the Father does not commend to us his grace by his Spirit as he carries the apostle along to write this letter. But the Lord Jesus Christ especially is the person of the Godhead in whom God communicates his grace to us. He is God himself. And so when Jesus loves you, this you know, for the Bible tells you so. It's not just that he thinks lovingly towards you. It's not just that he feels lovingly towards you. It's that he is giving all of who he is for all that you need him to be. And he is God in the flesh who died not only to be your substitute, but to be your everlasting life, everything you need forever and ever. And so there's so much wonderful greeting in verses 21 and 22, but it all comes from the fact that Christ, who gave himself for us, also continually gives himself to us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, how we thank you, Lord Jesus, for how you have loved us, how you continue to love us, how you continue to continually greet us in your word, breathing out by your Spirit the words on the pages of Scripture. And we thank you that you even, having atoned for us and having been obedient and the right, our righteousness for us, that you are also making us by your Spirit to be like yourself. And we pray to see in our own hearts, in our own words, spoken or written in letters like this one that we've just finished studying, we hope to see in our lives and interactions with one another an expression of your own love for each of us and for one another, that you would make this a place where it is known how much Christ loves, because his people love with that love. Grant that by this they would know that we are yours. By our love one for another, we ask in your own glorious, matchless name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.